Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And we are about to be joined by Ovetta Wiggins, who is a reporter for the Washington Post, been covering the Prince George's County school situation. Then we're joined by Senator Paul Pinsky and Jan Hagee, who have two very different positions on this. Ovetta, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hi. Thanks, Mark. Good to be here.
410-319-8888. Join us here or jump onto our Facebook pages or write to us at steinershow@gmail.com, especially trying to hear what our Prince George's County listeners are thinking. 410-319-8888. It's interesting, your take on what happened here and what really is at stake. I can remember covering years back just here in Baltimore when the state decided to take over a number of schools in Baltimore City.
Right.
And this is different but similar. So describe what's happening and how it happened.
Sure. It is different in the sense that in this case you had the county executive, Rashearm Baker, decided to push for a complete takeover of the school system here in Prince George's County. Last month, he basically announced that he wanted to be in charge of the school superintendent, as well as in charge of the $1.7 billion budget of the school system. That, of course, would have given him more power than any other county executive in the state. And in the end, obviously, he did not get everything that he wanted. He instead got limited authority over the school system.
Ovetta, this is Anthony McCarthy. There was a great deal of debate, and I want to get your take on it, from rural legislators all over the state who were asking the real tough questions about what it meant, A, for them to intervene, even though the legislature's primary role is to provide education to Maryland's children. But they were really afraid that they would be giving Rashearm Baker too much power. And as a legislature, they may be overreaching because there is an elected body in Prince George's County that governs the school system.
That's correct. I mean, this bill was put in
late.
As a local bill, mm-hmm. and it was put in very late. It was put in 3 weeks before the end of the session. And what happened was, as I said, it was put in as a local bill, but many people basically said this has statewide implications. And so you had a number of lawmakers, including the Speaker of the House, Michael Bush, who basically said, you know, we cannot give this amount of power to one executive, and we have a local board who has been elected by the residents, and to basically allow him to have that much power, they balked at the idea.
And let's go back a bit. I mean, our listeners to understand what caused this. What's the root of all this? I mean, how is Prince George's County school system any more dysfunctional than many other school systems in the state of Maryland?
Well, Prince George.
Pardon my.
Sure. I completely understand what you're saying. Prince George's basically, as you know, is one of the wealthiest black majority counties in the country, and yet its school system ranks, basically next to Baltimore City in the state. And what the county executive has basically tried to do, he wants to improve Prince George's County in general, not just, this isn't really just an education issue for him. It's also, I mean, it is education issue, but it's also trying to attract new residents and new businesses to the county. And he feels as though the way that he would be able to do that is to improve the schools.
Now, Ovetta, for our listeners, just for some background, when Rashearm was elected, mm-hmm. There's been tension almost from the start between he and the leaders of the school board, and I guess there's been some changeover as far as the superintendent, but there's been tension from the start.
That's correct, and actually, it actually dates back to the fact that Rashearm Baker, when he was delegate, he led an effort to move the school, change the school board from an elected board to an appointed board. And so there's always been this feeling by the members of the school board that he wanted to take over, that he was probably, he always had an interest in education. He would go to do weekly visits to schools, and they felt as though he was sort of overreaching even in doing that. So when Dr. Height, who he had a very close relationship with, Dr. Height left, who was the school superintendent, he left last year, and he went to Philadelphia. Rashern Baker had a very close relationship with Dr. Height, and he did not feel as though he had much of a relationship with the interim superintendent who was brought in. And then what happened just a month ago, well, actually it was in February, I'm sorry, the school board was holding its, doing the superintendent search and brought in, basically decided on three finalists, three of whom, the three finalists, Rashern Baker really did not think that they were up to par, I guess you could say.
Now, did Rashern Baker, did the county executive have any input in that search?
Not as much as he wanted to.
So is this, before we move to our other two guests coming in to debate this, is this, from your perspective, just covering it, is this more pedagogical or political?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Is what just happened, is the move that took place, from your perspective, just watch covering it, is it more political or pedagogical?
You know, I think that a lot of people would say it may be a little bit of both. So that's where we are right now.
It is very interesting. I appreciate the way you've been covering this and the work you do.
Great job.
And looking forward to having you back on. And our signal is now bigger and stronger, and much more Prince George's County and D.C. will be hearing us. And
great.
So as that happens, we look forward to having you on even more.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Ovetta Wiggins, reporter for The Washington Post, has been covering the Prince George's County school situation. Anthony McCarthy and I are now joined by Senator Paul Pinsky, who represents the 22nd District in the Maryland State Senate from Prince George's County, and is a teacher, former head of the union, I think that's right, and Jan Hagee, co-chair of Citizens for an elected school board, and the Prince George's County School Board, as we said, is elected, or has been elected. And Senator Paul Pinsky and Jan Hagee, welcome, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Pleasure being
good
here,
evening.
Mark.
Paul, did I say it right? You were once head of the union, right?
Yes, and I've been in education for about 35 years.
That's right. I just want to make sure that was correct. So let me ask first, Paul, and I mean, why? This is what happened this afternoon. I said, let's see who's supporting this, who's not, who we should have on. And I said, let's kind of talk to people in the Senate and House of Delegates from the delegation. And then one of my producers said, we talked to Senator Pinsky. I said, what did Paul say? And they were saying basically you had a new, very complex, nuanced kind of answer, but that you were pretty much, but you were supporting Rashern Baker. And I was a little taken back. As a union leader, I wasn't expecting that response from you. Why?
Well, Mark, I mean, I've been involved in education, both setting policy and, as you said, with the union. Look, I didn't want to be in this situation. I don't think anybody wanted to be in a situation where there had to be an intervention. But I have to tell you, I've spoken with the last two superintendents, and both who've left said one of the key reasons they left was because of the involvement of the Board of Education and them getting involved in small issues and having superintendents try to solve constituent problems, and unfortunately not seeing the big picture and seeing things fairly small. And look, we've had appointed boards, we've had elected boards. I read all the studies, and there's no magic answer to this. You know, there's no study that says elected boards or appointed boards are best. And unfortunately, we were in a situation where our county was going to hire a superintendent for the next 4 years. And it's a fairly important time, and sadly, two of the three people who were forwarded had no experience of being a superintendent. And I think the county executive at that point said, I think enough's enough. He staked a lot of his future on turning the county around economically, with the issue of crime and also at schools. And I think he said, we need to do a better job. And I had to agree with him. I didn't agree fully with his initial proposal. I thought it was a bit going too far, but I think we did, in fact, have to do something.
And Jan, so tell me why, from your perspective, this was a bad idea, and what your response is to the idea that the elected school board was overly involved in the day-to-day operations of the school system.
Well, I think there are many issues related to this this new legislation. Our organization, which is a coalition of many groups in the county, opposed the exclusive selection of the superintendent by the county executive, the language in the bill makes the superintendent accountable to the county executive. There is to be a selection committee appointed by the governor, but the there is accountability to the county executive and not to the voters and the citizens of the county. We believe that the superintendent in this bill will have broad unilateral authority. The superintendent can make unilateral decisions about transportation, about closing schools. And indeed, the language provides that it is the superintendent who will recommend policy, and that the board, elected by the citizens of the county, must, with a two-thirds vote, be able to overturn or disagree with the policies. And you have to remember that our current elected board includes a student member who cannot vote sometimes. So there are real issues with the provisions of the law that deal with the superintendent selection. We're concerned, too, about appointed board members. Appointed board members are accountable to those who appoint them. So in this situation, the county executive will appoint three members of the board, three additional members to the board, and the county council will appoint an additional individual. So the voice of the community is not, well, the voice of the community through its elected representatives will be diluted with this proposal. I must say that proposals like this with the state and county and municipal leaders taking over have not been successful. I would refer, your listeners to a very recent article in Time magazine citing that with these proposals, not much change has occurred in terms of student achievement, and that should be our focus. We see this bill as a distraction from really dealing with the issues that focus on students and schools and academic achievement.
I'm sorry, I just want to let Anthony get a jump in here.
Senator Pinsky and Jan, I want you both to respond to this, but Senator Pinsky, given that the bill, when we boil it all down, really does begin the process of, well, does more than begin. It really gives the executive on what he's looking for. It didn't give him everything he's looking for, but he really wanted to be able to make sure that the school system was part of his overall drive to turn the county around, not around, but really as one of those economic development drivers and a way to attract new residents. Why wouldn't you all have, instead of all the policy and the nuancing of the role of the superintendent and the role of the state government and the role of the executive, why wouldn't you just reverse your decision and make it an appointed, all appointed school board?
I think that's a very fair question. I do. And look, we have an elected board, and the people are good people. They're civic activists. They go to community meetings. They knock on doors. Mm-hmm. The question and the concern is, can they hire someone to run a $1.6 billion operation? Look, some of these people, none of them, or few of them, if any, have management experience, as has been written about. A number don't have BA degrees. And again, that by itself doesn't speak to anything. But the question is expertise. And Baltimore itself, I guess, had an intervention, and they changed the law to bring in a board selected by the state and the city, and I guess Dr. Alonzo was a result of that. Again, I don't think there's a magic answer. I think what happened in District of Columbia was a disaster, but I think that's because of the superintendent and the so-called reformer they selected in Michelle Rhee. Prince George's County a number of years ago had a lot of dysfunction, and for 4 years to bring some stability, we went to an appointed board. And at that point, I only agreed to it if we came back to an elected board. Well, it's like 6 or 10 years later, and I have been less than impressed that elected boards are necessarily the answer. So I think it's a fair question. I think we have to look at whether an appointed board is in fact better, because you might get people with expertise in education, in management, who just don't want to run for office raise money, knock on doors. And, you know, we had a situation where up to the last election, we had a couple of people who came within a couple hundred votes of winning, and they were 19-year-old. Now, I have nothing against 19-year-olders, but that would have had three people under 20 on the board. We're talking about hiring a superintendent, someone of $1.6 billion operation, 200 schools, 15,000 employees. And some of these people haven't balanced their own checkbook. And I think there is a question of expertise, of maturity. I don't want to, on principle, take the vote away, but we want to have good quality schools, people who understand it, understand the role of a superintendent, understand the role of setting general policy. And one of the points of view that Ms. Hagee just raised was that the new bill says that the superintendent is responsible for school closures. Well, think about it. If you have an elected board, how many of them are going to step up and decide to close schools? You know, it's like base closures. You know, the Congress has a clear policy of how they close bases because they know people are going to take a parochial view. So one of the pieces of this bill said that the superintendent would deal with closures because it's a very uncomfortable position to take for an elected board. So I think the question of an appointed board is an interesting one. I used to be against the issue, but I'm very much open to it now.
Hmm.
You know, the county executive decided to put more authority under himself. I think he was concerned that there would be much more uproar if, in fact, he put in for an appointed board, and at the end of the day, it seemed he got that uproar anyway.
Jan Hagee, go ahead.
Well, I have a couple of comments. One is, I think all citizens in Prince George's County want and expect and should expect effective governance so that our schools can address the real issues facing our students, our staff, our instructors. The question is, you know, can that best be achieved by an elected process or an appointed process? I need to say, with regard to I'll be frank, the politics of it all. Many of the same legislators who voted for this takeover proposal were also supportive of this very same current board members. They were supported by senators and delegates on their slate during the last, you know, couple of elections. So it seems ironic that at this point there's some real misgivings about how that board is composed. The question, I think, is what do we have to do to achieve greater student achievement? We know, as Senator Pinsky said, that neither an appointed board nor an elected board has been documented to be, you know, the best answer. We support democracy, though, here in Prince George's County. We don't like to see the political involvement of legislators and county council members because the accountability is with those that are appointed and not those that do the appointing and not with the citizens of the county. We have had a history of appointed and elected boards.
Right.
The concern about the superintendent is the selection of the superintendent is also intriguing and ironic because it was through an appointed board that we hired the last few superintendents. One was Mr. Hornsby, who you might remember had extensive legal problems and had to leave. The second superintendent appointed was Dr. Dacey, who we felt was doing a great job, but we realized that Prince George's was a stepping stone for him, and so he left, you know, after less than 3 years of service. Mr. Height followed Dr. Dacey. He was a deputy superintendent, and I believe he was hired, too, under the appointed board. So there's no there's no real assurance that an appointed board or an elected board can do, do the job that's necessary to bring in, to attract, and to sustain, a real education leader, which is what the county needs. We need leadership, and we need, we need leadership and consistency so that the academic issues that this county school system needs to address in order to help our students to be well prepared for an international marketplace where they will have to compete.
Can I ask this question? I mean, it seems to me that is part of the problem here is that we are that in many ways and similar to other places around Maryland, and that we're quibbling over crumbs. By that I mean you have the state is full of dysfunctional school systems to the level that there are students, especially poor and working class kids, who are performing very badly. Schools are not funded with enough money. We don't have wraparound schools to take care of kids who need them, take care of children who need certain services to be able to have the same opportunities as upper middle class kids. You have a very wealthy county in Prince George's County, a new high school being built. We have a program on here just last week about the squabbles between the upper middle class, mostly African American parents, who don't want the poor working class black kids in the same school, the new high school being built. These political squabbles that seem being masked, Paul Pinsky to me, at least from my reading, and I could be wrong, it's just my quick analysis here, these kind of political squabbles are being masked as this kind of pedagogical argument when they're not.
Well, Mark, I think much of what you say is true. I mean, schools don't live in an island by itself. It's poverty, the economy, the downturn, all affects that. I mean, the article in the New York Times yesterday talked about no rich child left behind.
Right. It was a good article.
Very good article. that's all true. And if you take it a little further, there's been a shortage of quality teachers. They're not going into education. They're going into other fields. There's been a shortage in mid-level management and as well as superintendents. People going to the private sector. I mean, if you can run a school system of 15,000 people, that's a big operation. The societal effects are clearly affecting the schools. And I think, Baltimore's Dr. Alonzo, who I think worked very hard.
Yep.
We had Dr. Dacey, who didn't stay for 3 years. He stayed for about 15 minutes. In about 12 or 13 months, he said, "This isn't for me. This drives me crazy." He didn't leave because it was a stepping stone. He couldn't take it anymore. And Dr. Height, who they also hired, said, "No, thank you. I don't want to have to deal with an elected board anymore." He went up to Philadelphia. So, I think the switch point came here when the school board, who, again, are well-meaning people, sent over two people who had never been a superintendent before. And I think people started to say, we have to do better than this. We have, I think, 17th largest school system in the country. We have some of our schools, we have 200 schools, are working pretty well, and we have others that are disaster. If you have a poor principal, that means they're probably going to hire poor teachers and not be rigorous in evaluations. And you need a strong superintendent who's going to hold people accountable. Their middle-level management, and then principals are going to hold teachers accountable. We're going to hold kids accountable because kids can learn. I mean, they can be successful. Again, when you have a concentration of poverty, it's difficult. I mean, that's as we refer to this New York Times article, rich kids have shown more success in a lot of these standardized tests. So I think with the fear of hitting rock bottom, I think having a superintendent for 4 years who does set a tone. I've seen some of the good ones over in Montgomery County. You had Jerry Weiss for 12 years. In Fairfax County, you have Jack Dale. You have Alonzo staying for a while. We've had 7 in 14 years. I mean, that's not a great track record. So we need more resources. We need more accountability. We need some of these societal changes, Mark, that I think you and I both agree need to happen. But we just can't sit on the sidelines.
We have about 2 minutes left here. Anthony, we have
Jan, I just want to ask you real quick, because I think when I listen to County Executive Baker talk about this, he often says that the school system and the performance of young people have to be part of the overall plan for a successful county. And I think everybody agrees with that. But do you think it is possible that if we could get the school board working on the same page as the elected county executive, that ultimately that it would make the schools the priority that an elected school board wants and even an appointed school board wants? Everyone wants children to excel, but if the county executive is ultimately held responsible, wouldn't that be a better scenario? I mean, Alonzo made it very clear, and he's made it clear every year. If you give him an elected school board, he is leaving.
Well, Mark,
my name's Anthony.
I think we all agree that we want a quality school system. It is a disservice to our students if we don't prepare them for what will be a very competitive international place that they have to live in. The question is, how can we do it? How can we collaborate as educators, community members, community leaders to make that happen? Is this structure going to give us an opportunity to really discuss the issues that need to be discussed, those things that will support a quality academic program when we have a superintendent, we have four members of the board accountable, not to the public, not to responding to the demands by the public for quality education, but they respond to elected leaders who may or may not, survive the next election. Talk about consistency. We want a process that will give us sustainability and a quality track, a quality action plan to deal with the academic achievement of students.
Jen, hey,
our demographics.
Yes, Jen, I'm sorry. Okay. I have to jump in because we're out of time. But we will come back to the subject in the coming days because I think it's very critical about Prince George's County Schools. We're going to do a much longer segment on it. Have you and other guests in here as well from Prince George's County and get to our listenership in that county to kind of have a chance to wrestle with this in ways they don't have. And I want to thank Jan Haig. You just heard co-chair of Citizens for Elected School Board and Senator Paul Pinsky, state senator from District 22 in Prince George's County, for joining us. We'll come back to this. Thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark and Anthony.
Have a good
evening.
You too.
We're going to take a brief break, and when Anthony and I come back, we are going to be joined by a group of guests, all of whom have served time in our Maryland State Prisons, and we'll be talking to them about life from the inside, from their perspective. Stay with us.